This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Today on AFCEA Answers, training and retaining the cybersecurity workforce. The conversation starts right now. I'm Max Kakis with AFCEA International. Welcome to AFCEA Answers. Joining us in the studio today, Pat Delaney, Associate Vice President of Corporate Learning Solutions with University of Maryland University College. Joining us on the phone is Dr. Ron Ross, a fellow at the National Institute of Standards and Technology, and Chris May, the Technical Manager with Cyber Workforce Development with Carnegie Mellon University's CERT program, and that is in Pittsburgh. I want to welcome you all. This is a real treat today. I want to start out today's program by recognizing the fact that we have on the show with us today representatives from two of AFCEA International's preferred providers, Carnegie Mellon University and University of Maryland University College, providing cybersecurity education and training on behalf of our the members of AFCEA International. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about that at length during the course of our program today. Ron Ross, it's especially nice to talk to you again because we have been talking about cybersecurity training and staffing for many, many years now. And I want to start with you. I want to get a sense and a scope of the problem of there being enough cybersecurity professionals. This is a problem that is not specific to the federal government or specific to private industry, but it's something that's shared by both of those sectors. How about starting us off with a little scope of the problem?
Well, thanks, Max. It's great to be back with you again. And this is certainly a really important topic that you're discussing today. The challenges that we face in cybersecurity at the federal level, state and local governments, and in the private sector are enormous. There is so much at stake today. We have very difficult and challenging problems, and we absolutely have to have the best and the brightest folks among us working to help solve some of these difficult and challenging problems. We are definitely short of skilled folks at the federal level. I know that shortage extends well beyond the federal government because we're always competing for the same scarce set of resources. It's really great, all the work that the folks at UMUC and up at Carnegie Mellon CERT are doing. We're enormously grateful for all the help that we're getting in training and educating this workforce that is an ongoing task for all of the folks who are involved in this fight. The education and training is at the core of our success. It's not just teaching people how to configure firewalls or patching systems. It goes deep into the university and colleges, into computer science departments and mathematics and engineering. We have to be able to have a skilled workforce to understand how to build more resilient information systems that can withstand these very sophisticated cyber attacks that are routinely hitting us every day. Software engineering, it's things that go to the fundamentals of building better hardware, software, and firmware, and all of those things coming together with good engineering practices. That's what where the big shortages are today, and we really need to focus on those things if we're going to be successful long term.
Okay, very good. Pat, I want to turn to you and ask you about the programs at UMUC and the focus that UMUC has on cybersecurity. This is a big area for UMUC.
It sure is. About 3 years ago, we had heard from many, many employers that the supply of cybersecurity professionals was not meeting the demand. And so UMUC is a university that serves about 95,000 students around the country. And we have always focused on the working adult as our student. And we've also focused on developing programs that meet the needs of the workforce. So what we did was, and this is a fairly recent phenomenon, in terms of developing a cybersecurity named program and certificate program. Prior, there have been degree programs in information assurance and computer science, et cetera. UMUC pulled together a advisory board when we were developing our cybersecurity programs because we wanted to make sure that we were developing a curriculum that addressed the most important needs in the workplace. So the advisory board is chaired by former General Harry Radege. It also includes Melissa Hathaway, who was a White House advisor in cybersecurity. It includes Vice Admiral Michael McConnell, Marcus Sachs from Verizon, and John Stewart from Cisco, as well as other expert practitioners and longtime government employees who have been in the cyberspace. And one of the things that they decided was that we needed not only to focus on the technical, mm-hmm. but also the management and the decision-making and the organizational aspects of cybersecurity education.
Okay, very good. We're going to come back to that in just a few moments. Chris, we have a couple of minutes before we go to our first break, but I wanted to ask you about Carnegie Mellon's CERT program. Again, very focused. You've got the needs of industry and also the government in mind. Tell us a little bit about the CERT program at CMU.
So the CERT program has been around since 1988. It was stood up in response to the Morris Worm event that happened back then. Back at that time, the U.S. government didn't have a centralized coordinating body to handle these kind of internet events, and they looked around and found a critical mass of expertise in this area at Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute, and the program has been supporting the DoD and the internet community at large for the last 25 years, specifically being a center of excellence in internet security, incident response, computer forensics, and, of course, cyber workforce development.
Okay, very good. Well, we're going to continue with our discussion on the cybersecurity workforce in just a few moments. And when we come back from our break, we'll ask the question, what is a cybersecurity job? You're listening to AFCEA Answers on Federal News Radio.
AFCEA has been providing an ethical forum for government, military, and industry to exchange information since its establishment in 1946. Experience AFCEA in action at its upcoming events. MILCOM, the International Military Communications Conference, November 18th to 20th in San Diego. TechNet Asia Pacific, December 3rd to 5th in Hawaii. And the Global Intelligence Forum, December 10th through 11th in Brussels. Many of AFCEA's events offer continuing education to help you maintain professional certifications. Stay in the know with AFCEA's international journal, Signal Magazine. November's issue focuses on tactical operations and the Asia-Pacific region. Further your education by taking a professional development course. Topics include communications, networks, information assurance, contracting, and homeland security. AFCEA is the association for global security. Learn more and join today at AFCEA.org. That's AFCEA.org.
Welcome back to AFCEA Answers on Federal News Radio. Our guests today are Pat Delaney, Associate Vice President of Corporate Learning Solutions with University of Maryland University College, Dr. Ron Ross, a fellow with the National Institute of Standards and Technology, and Chris May, Technical Manager, Cyber Workforce Development with Carnegie Mellon University's CERT program. Now, I should say here that we had a rather spirited discussion yesterday in our pre-show conference call regarding the topic of our program. And the one question that kind of came to mind that rose to the surface is actually a very simple one. What is a cybersecurity job? And Chris, I want to start with you. I'll give you an opportunity to kick us off here. How do you define a cybersecurity job?
So, you know, there are very varied roles within that category. But I think the central focus is defending and protecting of data, of networks, of systems, so that there is not significant loss to customer confidence, or the general well-being of an organization. So that's at the highest level possible. When you get down into the weeds of what the various jobs or roles are within that category. You'll have highly specialized incident responders that are really there to be the SWAT team or the shock force that when an event happens, an internet security event happens, they are there to manage the incident, to handle all aspects of it, from the technical analysis of the computer systems and the data on them, all the way up to the public affairs components of that and legal considerations. So there's a wide swath of tasks that fit into that broad category. But I would say that when you, in general, if you just say what is a cybersecurity job, the general perspective would be likely a technical computer science background type of person that has specialized expertise in network administration, system administration, and then, of course, the security components that are add-ons to that specific domain.
Mm-hmm. Now, Pat, how about you? What when you and your colleagues at UMUC think about cybersecurity jobs and trying to shape the training? You talked about the task force that helped put together a UMUC strategy. Tell me how the definition of a cybersecurity job shapes that curriculum that you have.
Well, our advisory board was really clear with us that they wanted to make sure that we didn't just, but it's very important that we do, focused on the technical aspects of the job.
Mm-hmm.
So at the undergraduate school level, we have a networks and security program that's very related to cybersecurity issues. It includes 8570 certification content. They wanted to make sure that we brought it up a level and educated professionals who could think more broadly from a multidisciplinary standpoint in order to make decisions that not only narrowly affect the task at hand, but the security of the organization overall.
Right.
So we also developed policy tracks as well as technology tracks at both the undergraduate and the graduate level.
Very good. Now, Ron, I wanted to ask you weigh in on this program is that when you and I first met, you were testifying on Capitol Hill about cybersecurity workforce issues before Senator Lieberman's Senate committee. And so I know this is a topic that's very, very near and dear to your heart. What do you think about the cybersecurity training and education programs that are out there? Because there's depending on how you look at things, there's a difference between cybersecurity education and then also cybersecurity training, especially when it comes to people who are already doing this.
Well, Max, I think they're both important, and I think the most important thing we can do is understand that, as everyone just expressed, the number and types of roles that you can assume within the quote-unquote umbrella of cybersecurity are very broad. I think that one of the disservices we do is try to pigeonhole people into a quote-unquote cybersecurity job when, in fact, a lot of the heavy lifting that we have to do to be more secure at the end of the day involves things like good software development and good systems engineering, which don't have anything directly to do with cybersecurity. This is just best practices that have been involved in these disciplines for, you know, many, many decades. So I think that there is a place for education. We certainly need to have the kind of skills that come out of our universities and colleges, which equip our students who will eventually go into the federal government or into the private sector. They may end up in companies like Microsoft or Oracle or wherever they're going to work. And having the skills that enable them to produce better software, more secure software, software that has fewer errors, that's enormously helpful because every one of those errors that ends up coming into the workplace could potentially become a vulnerability that we have to do something about. The fewer we have of those on the front end, the better off we're going to be. So that's the development side of the cybersecurity issue. You then have the operational side where the more classic training comes in, being able to configure a firewall, understanding how to lock down the different components of a system with good configuration settings, understanding how to put these components together in a good, you know, architectural construct. So I think the true answer here is that identifying the taxonomy of the types of jobs that are necessary and then making sure that we have the ability to do like a good farm system in a football team or a baseball team, be able to bring those next generation folks into the workforce that are appropriately equipped to handle the jobs at hand. That's our biggest challenge going forward.
Okay, very good. Well, we're going to look into that a little bit more coming up after our break. Still to come, does the military have the right idea when it comes to cybersecurity training? You're listening to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio.
FCA has been providing an ethical forum for government, military, and industry to exchange information since its establishment in 1946. Experience FCA in action at its upcoming events. MILCOM, the International Military Communications Conference, November 18th to 20th in San Diego. TechNet Asia Pacific, December 3rd to 5th in Hawaii. And the Global Intelligence Forum, December 10th through 11th in Brussels. Many of FCA's events offer continuing education to help you maintain professional certifications. Stay in the know with FCA's international journal, Signal Magazine. November's issue focuses on tactical operations and the Asia-Pacific region. Further your education by taking a professional development course. Topics include communications, networks, information assurance, contracting, and homeland security. FCA is the Association for Global Security. Learn more and join today at FCA.org. That's FCA.org.
Welcome back to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio. Our guests today are Dr. Ron Ross, a fellow with the National Institute of Standards and Technology, Chris May, Technical Manager for the Cyber Workforce Development at Carnegie Mellon University CERT Program, and Pat Delaney, Associate Vice President of Corporate Learning Solutions with University of Maryland University College. I wanted to start this section off with a chat with Chris, because one of the aspects of the work that we're discussing here when it comes to cybersecurity training is something that you know quite well, Chris, and that is the Army's efforts to recategorize and reshape their cybersecurity training. I did an article about this for Signal Magazine a couple of months ago, and I was wondering if you could encapsulate for us what you learned in the process of your work, of Carnegie Mellon CERT's work with the Army Signal School at Fort Gordon.
Sure. So the Army in general is just one of the service components provided to U.S. Cyber Command. So Army Cyber Command is one of those components. And just recently, in the last 6 months, a new force structure from U.S. Cyber Command was announced. And this force structure levies new missions on the service components to include the Army. These new mission areas have emerging standards for the type of skills, knowledge, skills, and abilities that soldiers assigned to these units must have. And so the Army, in particular, has been looking at innovative ways of improving the ability to speed up the pace to be able to provide trained and ready cyber operators to support U.S. Cyber Command's missions, and also to look at ways to do what has been difficult in the past, to do high-fidelity continuation training once a particular soldier is out of the schoolhouse, as they say. So Fort Gordon is the Army's Signal schoolhouse, and therefore that's where the lead-in training takes place. But once soldiers get back to their units, there are less opportunities, or have traditionally have less opportunities to stay current and particularly when it comes to skills and particularly experience building, not just for individuals but for teams. So what we've been involved with in the military over the last many years is to focus on that gap area of that continuation training. So beyond the schoolhouses, what can individual soldiers and units assigned to these cyber missions do to remain current and stay on the fighting edge, keeping ahead of adversaries?
Okay, very good.
Given the continuous and fast-paced change in cyberspace.
Got it.
So with that, we've developed some platforms and some curriculum and training and courseware that we've been making available through various online platforms. One of them is called the Federal Virtual Training Environment. That's FedVTE. That is a platform that we developed here at the CERT Division and had over 80,000 military service members utilizing that platform. Last October, we transitioned that to the government, and now it's available as a resource to every single federal employee and government civilian who's categorized as being part of the federal cyber workforce. Additionally, we've been supporting, so that takes care of knowledge and skill building for individuals. The harder problem is allowing the military to train as they fight as part of normal operations. And so if you're in a kinetic domain, whether an infantry rifleman or you're a fighter pilot or you're a ship driver, the way you achieve combat readiness is not through schoolhouse classroom training. It's getting out in the field and practicing your tradecraft against known standards. With that, we've been working on various mechanisms for improving the military's way of doing of being able to train as they fight. So we've helped U.S. Cyber Command and other military commands, to include the Army, in running cyber exercises and cyber training events for units and teams that allow them to that put these teams and these units in highly realistic scenarios where they are able to practice their tactics, techniques, and procedures in realistic environments, and then do a short AAR, after-action review, to find out where their deficiencies were, and then roll that back into the training program for individuals as part of perhaps FedVT or our own Step Forward program. That's our simulation training and exercise platform.
Okay, Chris, I wanted to give Pat an opportunity to talk a little bit about UMUC's outreach to the military. And of note, UMUC recently opened a campus at Quantico Marine Base, where I believe that a lot of some of the focus will be on cybersecurity. Am I correct?
Correct. UMUC has a long tradition of serving the military over 7 decades. And in particular in cyber, for the 6,000 enrolled cybersecurity students that we have, over 3,500 are actually related to the military. So you can see that it's a natural area of study for them. At Quantico, we have classrooms where we have the opportunity to teach 8570 certifications and other customized types of cybersecurity needs that organizations have identified. We also have found, and I think this is important for a lot of organizations who are supporting the government in the future direction of cyber, as Chris just outlined, that they look into workforce planning over the next 3 to 5 years, as opposed to being reactive. We've found that our partners in the corporate sector, those that have been proactive in workforce planning, have been most successful in closing those skill gaps in the cybersecurity area and building those leadership benches, better managing performance, career management, which impacts retention, succession management, and then developing their own internal ability to develop cyber professionals and or partner with a school like Carnegie Mellon or UMUC to do that.
Okay, very good. Ron, I want to give you the last word here. And one of the focuses, obviously, for us at FCEA is are these various programs that we partner with, that we work with. And one in particular is the Step Forward program that is taking place with Carnegie Mellon and with FCEA International. I'm wondering, in your opinion, do these programs help to fill in the gap in terms of training and also continuing education? Because it's as much continuing education as anything else when we're talking about cybersecurity education.
Well, Max, I'm a big believer in partnerships, and I think, as demonstrated on the call today, every one of these organizations has an important role, whether it's NIST producing standards and guidelines or, UMUC helping to, train and educate the students, the future, the skilled workforce, or our partnership with Carnegie Mellon U.S. CERT. They were very instrumental in helping us upgrade our security controls in the insider threat space. That was about a year ago that project took place. So, the ultimate solving of all these difficult and challenging problems is going to be every one of these organizations doing what they do best, like you've talked about today, and then sharing information, partnering up with other organizations so we can collectively work together to make sure we have the right people in the right positions with the right skill sets to really help us address what I think are the most critical problems going forward with regard to our long-term economic and our national security interests. So I'm optimistic. I'm hopeful. Things are still pretty difficult and challenging, but we're making great progress, and I think the future is very bright for us.
All right, very good. On that note, I want to thank our guests, Pat Delaney, Associate Vice President of Corporate Learning Solutions at University of Maryland University College, Dr. Ron Ross, Fellow with the National Institute of Standards and Technology, and Chris May, Technical Manager of the Cyber Workforce Development Program at Carnegie Mellon University's CERT program. Our special thanks to the FCEA Educational Foundation for production help with today's show. Got an answer about what we've discussed today? Got a question? The conversation continues on our blog at federalnewsradio.com. Search FCEA. That's A-F-C-E-A. That's also where you can download this program and our previous shows for listening on your schedule. This program is a production of FCEA International, which is solely responsible for its content. On the web at fcea.org. I'm Max Kakis. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for FCEA Answers on Federal News Radio.